Welcome to The Christ Life. We are so glad that you are joining us today as we begin this new sermon series on the study of Hebrews. We're calling it Undisputed.
Ooh, I like that one, Undisputed.
And as we go through it, we're basically going to be hitting a lot of different areas. Yes. But here's the thing about Hebrews. There are questions that are not going to get answered. Who's the author, for example? That's one that always goes back and forth. And
there are
anything from Paul to
Priscilla.
Yeah, see, you're going to mess with people on that one.
I am going to mess with people, but it's true. This is one of those epistles. It's unique among all the epistles because of its style of writing. Mm-hmm. And there are everything about the doctrine in it is you could trace to Paul, because certainly the influence of it is clear. And it's written clearly by someone who is not one of the original apostolic crew. They were reached by that group of people. And so you can make an argument that somehow Paul had influence in this. And really, there are a lot of people that have for a number of years accepted that Paul wrote the epistle. But the reality of how it's written and this highly educated Greek form of rhetoric that's contained in this, and it's the whole substance, methodological argumentation and delivery is something that Paul just doesn't do in most of it. If he wrote this, it would be a huge departure from his writing style in every other epistle. And so, you know, people have made the case for any number of people, Barnabas, because he's a Hellenist Jew, a Greek-speaking Jew. They've made the argument for Apollos. And the ones, by the way, Apollos probably has a pretty good argument because he was known to be this highly educated, very well-spoken communicator type. But Apollos was trained by Priscilla. It was Aquila and Priscilla who helped him in his early formative years and trained him. And certainly she fits the narrative. There's one German theologian who just is all in on the Priscilla boat. But the reality is what you said. We don't know. It leaves you the questions. We don't know who wrote the book in terms of the actual author, but we know who wrote the book in terms of the Holy Spirit inspiring this truth, because it's powerful truth.
And so, you know, listen, before you just jump to the next video, because now you find your feathers all ruffled up because we mentioned Priscilla. For those of you that are, you know, have this lifelong ministry of trying to get women in their place.
Well, we could mention Melchizedek too. Yeah. We could talk about him.
Well, that's the other question that we're not going to be answered. But I think, but I just wanted to throw this in real quick. A big part of the Christ life is dying to yourself and living in Christ.
Yes.
And sometimes our theologies, it really can hinder us from moving to the kind of life that is Christ. And we believe that the Lord, over this next number of weeks as we look at this, that you understand who Jesus is. Because this book, make no mistake about this, this book from beginning to end, it's about Jesus. The author understood that there were Christians that were discouraged, they were challenged. And whenever you're in a time of discouragement or you're challenged by life circumstances, whatever it might be, the tendency is in the human part of you to begin to look at other things, to begin to look at other lives and compare it with your own and then go, maybe I'd be better off here. And the writer of Hebrews wanted to make sure that the life that we're looking at, the life of which all of our lenses go through, is the life of Jesus and who Jesus is. The other thing to understand is the writer is kind of moving through the pages is that the writer believes that the people reading this book, reading the book of Hebrews, they understand Jewish history and they understand Jewish worship. And so that really becomes the pictures and the metaphors to understanding who Jesus is, whether it's the priest or the temple or angels or whatever it is. They want us to really understand that all of that points to Jesus. All of that helps us to understand who Jesus is, so that in our time of discouragement, in our times of uncertainty, we are anchored in a belief, and we believe that Jesus is everything. He is undisputed in all areas. And when you believe, then you actually become. You become more like Christ because you are saying no to your life and yes to his life. And then the result is that there is this behavior that is a result of the first two. Now, I want to speak to those who have been duped, who've been kind of bought into the lie that it's believe and then behave. Because what the enemy wants you to do is he wants you to focus all on your behavior. He wants your Christianity focused on you. You become the center point, when actually Jesus Christ is the center. He is that which we revolve around. It's his life that we move into. And when you believe in his life, when you believe in everything that Jesus Christ was and is to come, then you're going to move in and there's going to be a transformation. Something's going to happen in your life. And that's our goal for this sermon series, is that you believe and that you become more and more like Christ, even in the times of discouragement, even in the times of uncertainty, so that ultimately that people look and go, well, you behave differently. There's just a big difference.
Absolutely. Your behavior should match. I mean, people who practice what they preach. Someone said, most of the people I know who practice what they preach are known for really short, simple sermons.
Yeah.
because it, that's the real rub. That's the real ticket. But that's the real test, I think, of and the proof of authenticity. When you really do know the Lord Jesus in a personal, relational way, when you are governed then by his choices and his word and his truth and his character in your character, when he and you are merging and melding and you're in him and he's in you, then you act and you think and you behave differently. And people read that's what the scripture says. We are a gospel that other people are reading. We are a testament to the reality of a relationship with Christ. And so, especially for these Hebrew Christians, for these people who were who understood God in terms of ritual and in terms of rites and in holy days and holy places and all of this, to change from that to a personality-based thing, mm-hmm. to a Christocentric kind of relationship. That's really the substance of this whole book of Hebrews, and it's powerful.
Yeah, it's not what you know. If you're trying to live your Christianity based on what you know, you're gonna stray. You're gonna give up. You're gonna move on. But when it's who you know, then really you're just anchored there. And life circumstances, while it brings emotions and it may bring questions, and then like this book, you go through life without having some questions answered, which is okay. You still are going to remain in the life of Jesus Christ. So let's pick it up. Just the first few verses in chapter 1 of Hebrews, writer starts off this way, whoever he or she might be. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things. Through him also he created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. And he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high.
That's amazing. I mean, that is such a mouthful. And this is the opening salvo of this book. Make no mistake, this is a powerfully clear sermonic deliverance and an impacting truth that whoever the writer of Hebrews is wants to get across to these Hebrew Christians. It is clearly always about Jesus. And so, you know, every good sermon, every messaging kind of component, whether it's good teaching or it's good preaching or it's good writing, there should be a sort of an elementary approach, which means you need to know something. We want to communicate some information to you. But you should also feel something. When you know something to be true, that should create inside of you a sense of motivation, a sense of urgency, a sense of peace, or a composed place of where you understand something. There's a feel to good teaching. So you know something that causes you to feel a certain way, but then you behave, you do what the scripture enjoins. And so honestly, good teaching typically ends with always with a, you should live this way. This should be some of the change that happens in your life. This is what you were coming in, and this is what you are now as a result of this. And so there's the before and the after kind of component to this. And so what you should know, you Hebrew Christians, and all of us who are reading this and studying this, is that Jesus is. It's that there, fill in the blank, undisputed in every way, but Jesus is. The scripture says about God that you, if you're going to come to him, if you're going to have faith, you have to believe that he is and that he's the rewarder. When God wanted to identify himself through Moses in Egypt, and Moses was asking, you know, that, well, they have names for thousands of gods here. They label everything they don't understand as a god in Egypt. And he was very familiar with the culture, having been raised in it for 40 years. And so he comes along saying, you know, what, I've got to have a name. And God says, no, I am. I am. That's good enough. And so this is the reality. Jesus is. And that's what the writer of Hebrews leads with. Jesus is what? Fill in the blank. I mean, it's right here, and it's said really well. He is the exact image of God. He is the radiant glory that is God. God in a body looks like Jesus. Mm. Oof. So this is who he is. He is this radiant, glorious God of gods who has come to us in human form. He is the exact imprint of the nature of God. That's a word that the Greeks used. We would recognize this word. It's character. But for them, it didn't mean just, you know, how you lived and the authenticity by which you lived. It meant the actual stamp, the actual signet by which you would stamp something, where you would, you've all seen these pictures of a scroll that is sealed with wax, and there's in the seal, there's an imprint. Well, that imprint is made by a character. And the imprint is the exact replication of the character. And so this is who Christ is.
As you're talking, I'm reminded, for those of you that are Star Wars fans, that when Han Solo is captured, he's put into this stasis thing, and it imprints him and keeps him. And on the outside,
I think I've
you
seen
can
that.
See yeah. what he looks like. And that really is the kind of imprint that you're talking about.
Yeah, that's how he knows it's Solo. Yeah. Because it's like, that's, you see this face in the stone. Well, that's Solo.
Well,
and it's, this is the reality of who Christ is.
Exactly.
So this is who he is. He is the exact imprint, the radiance. It also says that he upholds the entire universe by the word of his power. He holds everything together. And everything in this agrees with the rest of Scripture. Colossians says he holds all things together. It is by the Lord's word, by Christ Jesus himself, that everything coheres, holds together. The structure of an atom would cause it to just go and break apart, except something holds it together. These bonds and all of these kind of things that the chemical people talk about. But here's the reality. The scripture is very clear. Christ holds it all together. So he is. This is the first and foremost truth that the writer of Hebrews wants to get through to these folks. It is not about ritual. It's not about the shadows. It's not about the all these kind of things and these behaviors that you have engendered. It is not a religious thing. It is essentially a relational thing. And this relationship is with the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords and the God of all grace, the God of all glory, because he has come to us. Jesus is both the message and the messenger. And I love this one. He is the truth. He doesn't say, I've come to tell you the truth. He says in John, I am the truth. So if you want to know what it looks like me. This is who God is. This is how God is. When he asks them into a relationship with him, he invites them into a relationship with God. And so, you know, God is where I am. I am where he is. And so this is who Christ is, both message and messenger. As the book unfolds, and we're going to look at this over the weeks, it's really interesting that he comes from a timeless place, but he moves into time. And this is the eternal Son of God who has no beginning of days, no end of days. That's where the whole Melchizedek thing will come in later. But this is the eternal Son of God, the timeless one. But he appears in these moments in time. He comes to us right here, right now. And that is what helps us then later on to be able to understand how everything fits together. It all coalesces and coheres and comes together in Christ Jesus. And so the timeless one has moved into time with us as both message and messenger. And essentially, he wants, or she wants, whoever wants, these Hebrew Christians to understand that heretofore, everything that you know about religion and ritual is just shadow living. You've been living with the shadows. That's what you've been in. And because you are so clear on the shadows, you have a pretty good idea of what the substance actually looks like. But when the substance comes, honey, you don't need to dance with the shadows anymore. This is real life, and Christ is the substance.
Boy, and when you believe that, when you really receive that and move into that, your life circumstances are not going to dictate. All of a sudden, you're going to feel differently about your problem. You're going to feel differently about your sickness. You're going to feel differently about your relationships because you know what the substance is. And when you've been made a promise by Jesus, you know the timeless one will come in that moment that you need him. He's going to come in his timing. Even scripture says that Jesus came in the fullness of time. There was a moment where the timeless one moved into time. And there's going to be a moment in our lives when we believe that Jesus Christ is this exact imprint of who the Heavenly Father is, that we know he's going to move into our moment. He's going to move into your moment, which really now we can live with, regardless of our circumstances, we can live with hope. Because we know that the challenges that we face, the problems that we're in, it's just created by shadows. And there's a substance that we can go and say, hey, I know that this is just for a time, because I know the timeless one. And where my body might be failing me, where we may be running into challenges, we know that when you know the creator of the universe, when you know him, when you believe that that's who he is, then now you know that he has a better, more glorious body in wait for you, that it's going to emerge at the resurrection. So it changes everything, because now you live with a greater amount of trust in him, so that ultimately you can say, listen, he's the undisputed creator. So I don't care what anybody else in my life tries to destroy. That's undisputed. It's without dispute that he is who he says he is. I know that I am forgiven. And that is without dispute. And now, all of a sudden, you begin to operate in a much different fashion, because you know that your life isn't just for the now. It's not just bound in the time of the 60, 70, 80, 90, or 100 years of moments. It's not bound there anymore. That it's going to be released and moved in some respects, without going deep into it. We already have received that eternal life. But it's endless. It's going to continue. And then all of a sudden, you begin to do things differently.
You do. Yes, absolutely. This reality of a relationship with a real and living God who shows up in the Christ, it's the end of your search, but it's not the end of your life.
Yeah.
It's the end of your dancing with the shadows. It's the end of the ritual. In fact, it says in another place in the New Testament, Christ is the end of the law for everyone who believes. Mm. The end of the law. Why? Well, because the law was the schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. This was the shadow, but now that the substance has arrived, now I have hope, I have help. I have this understanding that comes via a relationship with the Lord. And the stuff that comes in that, the peace, the assurance, the hope, the grace, the ease of faith and life, is a beautiful thing. But it also comes with a little bit of an issue of, well, that's a problem if you want to be a ritualist. It's a problem a bit if you just want to be one who, I just glory in the tithe, or I glory in the fast, or I glory in the whatever it is, rather than glorying in Christ. This moves you from religion into this marvelous relationship. And so what we get a chance to do in this is to interpret, and for these Hebrew Christians, to literally reinterpret everything that they know of God, which is ritual, regulation, priesthood, sacrificial system, temple, holy place, all of that sort of thing, holy behaviors. They have to reinterpret every bit of that now in the light of Christ, because Christ is the undisputed fulfillment of it all. He is the substance, and this is the shadow. And so we're going to move out of that and move into Christ by kind of relooking, reimagining, rethinking, re-understanding, reinterpreting our religious understandings of who God is. And I think clearly that's the writer's intent here. But I think that's a good thing for any of us, no matter what your history is, that you reinterpret all of your history in terms of a real and living God who has showed up on the scene, who is the manifest glory of God, but he showed up on the scene to take away sin by the offering of himself, to literally purge and purify the people who are locked into sin from their sinfulness. And so when we do that in our pursuit of the Lord, in our pursuit of God, now we pursue him relationally, not religiously. Yeah. Now we're involved in an everyday, everywhere, conversational dialoguing with God. It's a beautiful relational thing. And we discover in that this unconquerable, this glorious God, this undisputable God of the heavens is my friend. He is my Savior. He is my God. And so I live with this assurance. I live with this comfort. I live with this peace. I live with this sense of purpose. And we're going to unfold that as these days go on. So,
yeah, and it's our prayer that you will choose to go along with us. And by going along with us, this is what we mean by that. We really want to encourage you first to click the link below and watch this short 8-minute video that's an overview of the book of Hebrews. It's a great starting place. But then read the book of Hebrews once a month. And if you're commenting down below, don't try to get religious with us. Don't try to argue theology with us, because if you've done it before, you know we're not going to go there with you. But here's what we do want. We want to hear what God is saying to you, because it is a relationship. He is speaking to you in many different ways by his son, Jesus Christ. And that's where we would really like to hear from you. And then every week, kind of tune in with us and follow along with us as we go through the book of Hebrews and just establish greater in our hearts that Christ really is undisputed everything.
Amen.
God bless.
Hey, thank you again for joining us. We hope that our time together has been a blessing to you. And it doesn't have to end there. If you want to find last week's sermon, you can go to Facebook, YouTube, or you can listen to us on the audio podcast. You can let us know if you'd like to be further connected in a life group. But let me go ahead and pray as we close and say, God, thank you for being with us, Lord God. Thank you for helping us to carry your words, Lord God, and change our lives, Lord. Help us to carry your love to those around us. And we thank you for what you are doing. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, and thank you for being a part. We hope to see you soon.